Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your love for us and this opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, as the seasons of our lives go by, we just thank you that you are our constant. No matter what happens, you are always there, and we praise you for that. As we enter into the last days of summer, as we start to look at the fall, we just thank you that you are the God of all creation. And Lord, as we look at different parts of your word, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that you'd give us spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us this morning. And we pray all this only and always in Jesus' name, saying amen. All right, so we continue in our summer sermon series, The God of All Creation. We've talked about different aspects of our Creator God and what those things teach us about God. Water, mountains, deserts, fire. This morning I want to say a few things about wind. And we probably just don't give it much thought. But you know, winds and air circulation is vital to maintaining the Earth's environmental balance, supporting life. This is what winds do. They regulate our weather patterns and climate. They disperse pollution and help our ocean circulate, although we'd like more dispersal of that pollution right now, obviously. They aid in the dispersal of seeds and pollen. They're a source of energy. And really, their winds are vital for human navigation, whether it be on the sea or in the air. You know, winds can vary from a lovely, gentle breeze to terrifying, destructive forces, everything in between. Now, Deb and I grew up in the Midwest, and windstorms, in particular tornadoes, were part and parcel of life. Which made wind the preferred natural disaster of that region. It's interesting to talk to people about places where they're from, and they all, you know, if you're familiar with it, we're like, ah, tornadoes, whatever. You know, but if you're not from it, you're like, that's crazy. If many of our people here are from California, earthquakes, that's something I didn't grow up with. They're like, eh. You know, Greg, growing up in Florida, hurricanes, right? It's like, that's crazy if you're not used to it. Now, truth be told, my wife has told me at different times she misses the wind. Now, I'm not so sure after our recent trip to China. I did not know that the capital of China, Beijing, is subject to tremendous windstorms. One day we were walking back from our to our hotel, tremendous wind and rainstorm tore through Beijing's main streets. People were scurrying, running for cover, and it was so intense, my glasses, which were in my pocket right here, it actually pulled the glasses out and skittered them across the street. I was like, wow, you know, and we were soaked to the bone. Next morning, I was like, you know, I'm gonna look for my glasses. Quick prayer, and we went looking for them. There's military police everywhere, by the way. And this guy looked at me and was like, what are you doing, white man? So I, with the help of Google Translate, I, you know, looking for my glasses after yesterday's windstorm, he was like, okay. And we found them. Actually, Deb found them. And yeah, you don't mess with these guys. Oof. Yeah, that's about right. And we found them, Deb found them, I displayed them to the Chinese military police guy, and he laughed at me and he was like, move on with your day. Different world for sure. Now, the Bible has a lot to say, actually, quite a lot to say about things like air and wind. I mean, like, probably haven't done much background study on that. That's probably not a normal Bible study, right? But I noticed this week over 200 times in the scripture, air and wind is talked about. And what's really interesting is it's often connected between human and divine breath. Right? Another 400 times. Here's my word nerd thing you're always going to get with me probably. Hebrew word, ruach, spirit. I mean, it's almost like onomatopoeia, right? It sounds like buzzing bee, ruach. It's the breathing out of God's Spirit. It's a spirit of life. We see that throughout the Old Testament. New Testament, the word is pneuma, pneuma, right? Identified, again, breathing out, part of the activity of the Holy Spirit. In the English language, if you know this word from shop, pneumatic tools, these are tools powered by air, right? Very useful, very powerful. Now, we said last week in Acts 2, different purpose, Acts 2, 2 and 4, where the Spirit was associated with fire and wind, right? Dr. Luke says this, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where the disciples were sitting, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak other languages as the Spirit enabled them," right? Wind, air, violent wind storms, all these things happen all the time. Again, little video there. 2.5 weeks ago, remember that whipping through Missoula? That was a mess. I was just coming back from Michigan. Actually, we got rerouted because the tower was down and there was no electricity. Got rerouted to Spokane, and I got to spend the night on the floor. That's always fun, sleeping on a slab. Yeah. How inconvenient, right? So it tore up Missoula, gusts up to 100 miles an hour, trees toppled, you probably saw it, roofs blown off, ripped off, utility poles knocked down, leaving thousands without power. Now, did a little research, Mayor Andrea Davis declared a state of emergency and urged people to stay off the river because there were down power lines in the river. Wouldn't that be a way to go? You know, we're just enjoying our Missoula day, you know. Wow. You know, Governor Gianforte declared Missoula County a disaster area. Now, I kind of thought it was a disaster area before the storm, but the governor said so, so it must be so. Okay, so all this to say is that the Bible has a lot to say about wind. So wind is a symbol of various kinds. Wind is a symbol for God's powerful presence. Wind is also in the Bible a symbol, interestingly enough, for change and movement. We don't always like change and movement in our lives, right? We want things to be the way they are, the way we like them. But you cannot be sanctified in Jesus Christ unless there's some change, right? And sometimes it's hard. I get it. And wind is also, obviously, maybe most significantly, a symbol for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit is, there's always the breath of life, right? Oh, that's where you know the Spirit is. If there's no life, there's probably no Spirit. You know, oh, for a thousand tongues to say. You know, it's like, loosen up. The flag of the Holy Spirit is joy. How much joy do you got in your life? Well, I want to talk about those three things very briefly. First, in the Bible, wind is a symbol of God's powerful presence. Encourage you to bring your Bibles. Exodus 14:21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that evening, that night, the Lord drove the sea back with what? A strong east wind, turning it into dry land. The waters were divided. Israelites went through on dry ground with a water wall on the right and the left. You thought this was just for frost and the bitterroot over your tomatoes. No, it's something much bigger and powerful, right? Or how about how the God of all creation can display his power and presence through several elements at once, right? We've talked about. How about that cool story of Elijah, right? 1 Kings 19. Remember the story of Elijah where after he defeats the prophets of Baal, and then the prophets of Baal are slain, the idolatrous queen of Israel, Jezebel, that word is still current in the South for different reasons. She's such a Jezebel. She swore by her gods that he would be dead by the next day. Now, that's a promise. So what does he do? He freaks out. He hightails it for safety. He goes down to the Judean desert in the south. 1 Kings 19 says, "The Lord said, Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain." in my presence, the presence of the Lord, for my glory will pass by. Ooh, I love this passage. Remember this one? Right? His powerful presence. And when God showed up, the rocks were shattered. But he was not in that mighty wind, right? After the wind, there was a what? Earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. See, we love the big things, right? As Christians in the West, I mean, we just love the show. Ooh, that was great. That was so powerful. We're still waiting on that fog machine. Keep waiting. The Lord was not in the earthquake, and then came a fire. But even in the fire, the Lord was not there. Then came a gentle, this is Hebrew, a gentle whisper. You know, we want God to show up in all the great ways, but he usually shows up in the gentle whisper. Are we listening? Can we even listen? Or are we just so addicted to the news stream and media that we can no longer have ears that hear? Ooh. God is in the gentle whisper, right? And then Elijah heard it. He pulled his cloak over his face, went out, stood at the mouth of the cave, and then the still small voice said to him, this is our story too. Elijah, what are you doing here? I didn't tell you to run away from Jezebel. Well, you should run away from Jezebel, gentlemen. But I'm just saying, you... Are you listening to the Lord is the question. So in the Bible, wind is a symbol of God's power and presence. Secondly, in the scriptures, the wind is a symbol for change and movement. That's why we're in this series, we're kind of moving through the scriptures in different ways. Consider Jesus' discussion with the Pharisee Nicodemus. Did you notice Nicodemus came to talk with Jesus when? At night. Why? Because he was afraid. Oh, once again, fear does the worst things to us, right? He was afraid that the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, would find out, Nicodemus, why are you going to Jesus? Shh. Right? John 3, fascinating discussion where Jesus tells Nicodemus that no one can see or enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Ooh. Nicodemus didn't believe it. He was incredulous. And so Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Physical birth and spiritual birth. I bet you know a lot of people who have been physically born, but spiritually they are dead as a doornail. Right? I'm not judging. I'm just saying this is sad. We got work to do. Stop complaining. Right? I mean, if you're a Christian, I mean, you got job security. You got a mission, a commission from the Lord. Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus is one of the teachers of Israel, but he don't get it. Isn't it? What do you mean a man, a woman needs to be? Do they have to enter their mother's womb a second time, he says? I mean, just nonsense, right? And Jesus said, you don't get it. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You must not be surprised, Nicodemus, at my saying, you must be born again, born anew. And then here's this passage, this verse. It's just interesting. The wind, meaning the Spirit of God, blows wherever it pleases. Isn't it? You know, the Holy Spirit sometimes is just so darned inconvenient. You can't control the Spirit. Have you noticed this? I want God to do this and that and blow here and not do that. And, oh no, it doesn't work that way, does it? You know this is true. The Spirit of God blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound. Are you listening? You can hear the Spirit if you're quiet and listen to the gentle whisper, right? You hear its sound. You can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit of God. Oh, Christians try and control stuff and put it in boxes and, you know, outline it. Really? Really? Change and movement obviously happens in all of the elements that God, the God of all creation, has created. He's preordained it. I mean, we're looking at one each week, but really, in the end of the day, they all sort of go together, right? And again, to me, it's interesting to hear people argue about which natural elements are stronger than others. Have you ever been in a discussion with people from around the country? It's like, hurricanes, that's just crazy. I don't even be stuck in that. That's insane. Greg's like, yeah, whatever. Just, you know, you know, whatever. Anyway, interesting to hear people argue about these things. Great ancient teller of fabulous fables, Aesop. I love Aesop. When was the last time you read Aesop? So much wisdom there. Tells the story of the north wind and the sun. This is lesser known. You probably know the tortoise and the hare and the fox and the grapes and all that kind of stuff. But this is interesting. Aesop said this: of everything in the sky, the sun and the stars, the rain and the snow, the north wind boasted that he was the strongest. We've already got a problem, don't we? There is nothing that can resist me. Famous last words. I blow roofs off of houses and turn streams into ice. Are you sure? Asked the sun. I might be stronger than you. In which the north wind roared with an icy laugh. Let's have a little test, said the sun. You see that traveler down there below us? You see that one? Let's see which one of us can make him take off his coat. And the north wind heartily agreed. Heartily agreed. North wind sent blasts of howling, frigid winds down on the man in the attempt to tear off his coat, right? But instead, the man only wrapped his coat tighter and tighter around himself. Now, the gust that the wind blew could not rip the man's coat off, right? Now it's my turn, said the sun. And the sun sent down warm beams of light onto the man. And soon he took off his hat and he began to dab his forehead with the sweat, and pretty soon it got warmer and warmer, and then he took off his coat, and then he went underneath a shade tree and had a little rest. Amen. The gentle whisper, right? Right? So in the Bible, the wind is a symbol of change and movement. Don't be afraid of that, even when it's hard. God's in that, right? Somehow. You might not see it immediately, but you probably will in time. Finally, in the Bible, the wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, perhaps most important, the breath of life. Remember Genesis chapter 2, 7? The Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he did what? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Another Hebrew translation, I like this one. He gave humanity the divine puff. Isn't that good? Love that. And the man became a living being. Here's a good one. The great signs prophet Ezekiel. This guy is nuts. It just, you know, son of man, do this, do that. It's just what God made him do, these different signs. After the defeat and the exile of God's people, the Spirit of God carried Ezekiel, remember this story? Into the middle of a valley filled with the dry bones of his people. You won't hear this story in a mega church, right? They had been killed by the Babylonians. The Lord asked the prophet, can these dry bones live again? Everybody asks themselves that question at different hard times in their life, right? Can these dry bones? Ezekiel said, Lord, only you know. Ezekiel 37. Then the Lord said to me, prophesy, speak to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the word of the sovereign Lord says to the bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come on you, cover you with skin. I will put breath into you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Huh. And so I prophesied, said Ezekiel, as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Remember the old Negro spiritual, them bones? Yeah. I looked and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And God said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe, come, breath from the four winds, breathe into these slain so that they may live. You know, we go through hard stuff and God causes us to live. anyway, right? I prophesied, Ezekiel said, as he commanded, and the breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast and mighty army. Well, that by itself is a message, right? One thing is certain, is that God's Holy Spirit breathes life into human beings, and without God's Spirit, there can be no life. Amen. Very, very simple. And so in the Bible, the wind is a symbol for the Holy Spirit, the breath of life. See, the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, it's one and the same in the Bible. And sometimes we don't realize that maybe. But don't be surprised. We're always surprised when people misunderstand biblical truths. Why wouldn't they be if they don't have the breath of life in them, right? Kind of like the time, Billy. Yes. Yes, when a priest and a pastor and a rabbi were all asked, what would you like people to say about you when after you die? Ever played that game? I don't anymore because they're going to say whatever they darn well please. And it may be good, it may not be good, you know. As a pastor, it's not. Do you remember when you said it's like, whatever it is, probably not. Probably not. I hope it was good. Well, what do you want people to say about you after you die? The priest said, when I die, I hope that people will say that I help them understand the absolute love that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit offers them through Holy Church. Well, that's a pretty good wish. The pastor said, when I die, I hope that people will say I brought many souls to Christ who received salvation through accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's a good one. But I like the practicality of the rabbi, Jewish rabbi. Finally, the Jewish rabbi said, when I die, I hope that people will say, hey, look, he's still breathing. Breath of life. Just love the Jewish simplicity. We make it so hard sometimes as believers and as Americans. But even when the Lord or we're misunderstood, we still praise the God of all creation, amen? For using wind in our lives, air to demonstrate, one, his powerful presence, to remind us that change and movement is part of the Lord's will for us. This is a hard one, people. We all have experienced this, will experience this. Do you believe that God is in the change, even when it's hard? Is he in the movement? As well as to confirm to us that the wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and that it's only the Holy Spirit that can fill us with the breath of life. We all look for life. I mean, I have heard some dumb preaching, a lot of it actually, some of it from myself, that non-Christian people can't worship. What? Everybody worships. We have to. It's part of our nature. The question is, what are you worshiping? What are you going to for life? What are you filling your life with to try and fill that gap, if not the Spirit of God? Oh, well, that's another sermon. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this summertime in the Bitterroot. We thank you that we get to live in such a beautiful place, though we confess right now it doesn't feel so beautiful, and the smoke in the air is kind of hard. But Lord, we know this will change as things do, and we give you thanks for that hope that we have. And so Lord, as we go forth from this place, we pray that you would use us for your honor and glory, that the breath of life that you have put on us as followers of Jesus, we can share with others who desperately need that breath of life. And so Lord, as we go on, we just thank you for all of this, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, saying, amen. Amen.